Brendan, I'm getting old. I'm not a kid anymore. I know I'm getting old. In Vegas, I played a slot machine. 3 prunes came up. I know I'm getting old. Well, my last birthday cake looked like a prairie fire.
Prairie fire birthday cake. That's a thought.
I sure hope no one's getting offended by our humor.
Well, it's not ours.
It's Romy's. Romy's.
Jerry Seinfeld, and then that sounded like Rodney Danger.
Yep.
Rodney, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
so it's not our humor.
That's very good, Gary.
Okay, so I have a little sentimental one. You want this one to lighten it up a little bit? Are we making too much fun?
Okay.
Okay, this is from Solus Farm on Facebook. I asked an elderly man once what it was like to be old and to know the majority of his life was behind him. He told me that he has never been... He told me that he has been the same his entire life. He said the voice inside of his head has never aged. He has always been the same boy, his mother's son. He always wondered when he would grow old. He said he watched his body and his faculties dull, but the person inside stayed the same. Never aged, never changed. Our spirits are eternal, our souls are forever. The next time you encounter an elderly person, look at them and know that they are still a child, as you once were. So it's just that, you know, I think it's something we need to teach our children, actually, and ourselves, to be respectful and remember that they are real people. You know, we're so about the physical and how people look and how able they are and how independent they are. And so we have a tendency to think less of, but they really have so much to offer.
They do. And I think that as a big part of, you know, what in my heart just feels right about at the beginning of the century, 60% of the homes had multi-generational.
Mm-hmm.
The grandchildren were learning and hanging around the grandparents.
Well, you know what the dilemma is? Go ahead, Rome.
Well, and if you look at the Indian culture, I mean, that's what it was. You had the elders, the chiefs, and the, you know, the medicine men. You know, they were all the older ones, while the mid-generation were out gathering and hunting. And so, it was your parents that taught the kids a lot of the old stories and about mannerisms and how you're expected to act. And, you know, as they got older, then they would start joining the hunting and gathering parties. But a big part of that early life stage was all learned from the elders.
There you go. Shall we take Joyce, who's called in 1-888-767-4348? We are here to answer your questions about your home, your house, your cabin, or your castle. And Gary, we're going to need you to bring Joyce in. There she is. Good morning, Joyce.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi. This is your neighbor on the other side of the neighborhood here. I want to make a few comments on the aging thing.
Okay.
I'll be 75 in a few months, and that doesn't mean anything. I just completed a second time 4,600-mile cross-country driving trip.
Awesome.
I'm up on the roof half the time. The only thing is my daughter, when I fell moving a hay bale, made me get one of those med alerts.
Okay. All right.
Remember to do that and take the phone out. But I'm up on the roof, and I've got my truss done. That was something I just did this last year, which is very important because...
Your family
doesn't like surprises.
Well, I do pass your place periodically on my morning walk, Joyce, and you are
okay.
You're just an inspiration.
You're
just an inspiration taking care of that. We have, you know, some of the larger properties in that old part of town there, and you've done a great job.
Yeah, I always said I can do it all. I just can't do it all. And next month I get my knee replaced,
oh,
so hopefully I can get back to doing things again. That's really slowed me down the last couple of years. But the one main question I want to ask about, since most of the neighborhood has septic tanks and dry wells, my dry well is kaput. It's not draining. A few years ago, I put acid down it, and that lasted about 5 or 6 years. And I put the, I think it's magnesium sulfate crystals. I put that down pretty regular, but I need some referral for somebody who does dry wells.
Most
of the septic people don't.
Okay. Now, Miss Joyce, is this a property dry well to take surface water, or is this the seepage pit for the septic tank?
This is, you have your septic tank and then the overflow tank. And then about 15 feet out is a dry well. It's about 6 inches by 43 feet deep. And that's where the fluids from the septic tank go to.
Okay. Like a leach field?
Yeah, so it's the leach pit.
Well, instead of a leach field.
Okay, right. Instead of a leach field, we do a leach pit. And you would want to call a septic company for that. And I would recommend Rosie Certified, a American Septic. They've been Rosie Certified for years, and they'll take good care of you. And they are exactly the people that will want to.
I think I dealt with them once many years ago, dug up the safety tank, and they told me it didn't even need doing.
They have been around a long time, and they won't sell you a service you don't need. But I would have them come out and take a look at it and do an assessment. I would not pour any more acid down there. That's not what I would do. Get a American out there and let's take it one step at a time and see what we can do about rejuvenating the existing seepage pit. Worst case is we may have to drill one beside the one that's there if we've got it too gunked up, depending on the age. Jennifer and I live in a 65-year-old home on a septic system. And when that home was about 45 years old, we had to create a new leach pit. The other leach pit just had aged out and just wasn't doing its job anymore.
Aged out and wore out. Big family.
Yeah. So it does happen. Generally, on lots your size, Miss Joyce, there is room to come in and drill in the near area and reconnect it, and you'll be all set for another 50 or 60 years.
I never thought that a septic tank would be on topic this hour.
Right.
Aging out.
Yes, and that's, it's kind of hard. The one thing about staying in those big homes by yourself is, as they get older, they're expensive to take care of. We're finding all of our stuff is kind of, needing replacement. And so got to decide what to do with all that stuff. That's something that you put in the balance of weighing. Romeo, you're talking about that knowledge that in the Indian culture, how the elders taught the youngers. And that has kind of shifted too, because it used to be you look to the elders because they knew all the answers. They had it all figured out. Well, now with technology and the way information doubles and triples,
The grandparents are asking the grandkids.
Yeah. And, the older people I've tried to help, the technology thing is necessary, like, let's say, telehealth. It's necessary, but they can't do it themselves. So then they're relying on the younger ones. That makes them dependent again. But, yeah, it's kind of a...
There was a comedian that had a really great bit just about elderly and technology, and he's like,
it would be good.
He's like, have you ever seen them try to figure out their own email address? But he made a really good point. He's like, but you go and you look at their pictures and they've all got stories. He's like, what are we going to have? Here's 12 shots of my food from January. and here's 9 million selfies in a week.
Nothing of any depth. That is so true. I know you look at us, me and Dad, that way sometimes too. It's even harder with the generation above, and they don't have the confidence to poke around and figure things out. They're afraid they're going to break it. So,
well, we talk about the easy things. A lot of people want to talk to me about the big things, the backyard casita, the conversion of the hall, 2 bedrooms into 1 suite, all big ticket items. It surprises people how big a tickets they are. But Joyce mentioned one of the easiest things. At the point you may or may not be losing your balance is that
medical alert.
Medical alert. We have a client who was reluctant to wear one. Her family talked her into it.
To say the least, reluctant like mad.
Yeah. And she unfortunately fell in her driveway in the middle of the summer on a very hot surface. And she was fortunately wearing one.
They had just talked her into it the week before.
The week before. And so it was a busy road, and a citizen driving down the road saw her laying in her driveway and pulled in about the same time the ambulances pulled in. So those med alerts are one thing to consider possibly giving the rest of your – it may not be giving you any peace of mind, but it certainly may go a long ways to give your family some peace of mind.
We'll be talking in detail next week about some of the things you can do to help that older person stay independent just by being able to track them a little better. And, you know, some older people, you tell that and they're like, I don't need that. And some are like, that's so great. I'm so glad that I don't have to feel alone. I know somebody's watching me if I get lost or I get turned around or I get stuck. Somebody will come looking for me. So some people really appreciate that. But, you know, it can be kind of morose to list all the things that can go wrong with your body. But, you know, there are particular things you can do for each kind of thing. But when you think about it, it's the senses. You know, your five senses are kind of the first thing that kind of dull. Then it's balance and it's strength. Eyesight and hearing are really important, and just kind of makes, if your eyes are failing, it makes you feel like you're in the dark. If you can't, and then think about smell. Did you know how important smell is? Do you know anybody with COVID who had COVID and can't smell anymore? That's dangerous if you can't smell. And then it, you know, what if something's on fire or you've left something in the oven too long? So there's just all kinds of things. I don't want to list them all, but the acronym is ADL, activities of daily living. So you want to keep the quality of those up. And even if those things are failing and you're having trouble with those things, there are fixes for each one. So there's been a lot of thought put into things that can really, really make a difference in someone maintaining that dignity.
And I'm impressed with how creative and innovative people are in accommodating this generation. And in our neighborhood, and really all through the valley, I can walk within 1 mile of my house to about 8 residential setting elderly care facilities where they're in a home, a house with a yard. And that's relatively new in the last 10 to 15 years. But I know I can walk to 8 within 1 mile of our house. That does a lot, I think, to create the family feel as opposed to the institutional. But I know people that prefer the institutional for all of the social interaction that you have in that particular community. So it's a matter of, it with dignity, deciding, you know, which of those settings are you more comfortable in.
And it's really important to stay connected. So can you stay home and stay connected?
We have some very close friends who have recently lost their parents, who were halfway across the country, and both families spent an extensive amount of time traveling to those areas, taking care of mom and dad. They lost mom and dad, and that deliberately drove them to the decision that they're going to go into one of those environments at a fairly young age, when they're still got a lot to give and a lot of interaction to experience, for a primary reason of not becoming that reason for the kids to have to fly in every other weekend. And I had never even thought about that. There's another concept out there with the assisted daily learned task, where there are facilities being brainstormed now, and I'm really curious to watch them, where you volunteer to come in and help the tenants
before you need it,
and as you're in there helping, you're accruing credit for moving in later. That'll be a credit to your account.
Is that a dollar credit?
Well, it's in the birthing stages. It's still in the dream kitchen stages where they're putting the idea together. But those kind of compassionate, innovative approaches are the ones that we're going to want to be making a part of this particular series for sure.
And you're still talking in the pretty expensive realm. When Carol read the article, she's like, Mom, you know, a lot of people won't be able to afford this. So we are really going to talk about very practical products you can put in your home that can, you know, you think about sight, make sure your lighting's well, surfaces. So we're going to keep going deeper.
when my oldest daughter gave me that headlamp for my forehead, I thought, well, where am I going to ever use this? I carry it around in my pocket. I use it so often. I don't have enough light with anything I work on anymore.